Now, the Free Legal Advice Centres has launched a research survey aimed specifically at members of Ireland's LGBTQI plus community who have experienced unmet legal needs. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Chris Bowes, who is Legal Officer with the Free Legal Advice Centres. Chris, good morning and thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Owen, and happy Pride. Yeah, you're right. So this morning on the first day of Pride, Slack launched our LGBTQI plus unmet legal needs survey. So we've been operating a specific legal clinic for the LGBTQI plus community for the last year. And the purpose of this survey is to try and enhance our understanding of the legal issues that are being faced by the community, what supports are available, whether people know about the supports, and also to understand the specific problems that are arising. Because our experience of this clinic we've been running is that there are a variety of specific legal issues that members of the community are encountering. And we're trying to round out our understanding to understand those problems, to understand what their impact is, and ultimately how they can best be dealt with, so how we can maybe get rid of the problems to begin with, but also the kind of supports people need, including legal support, to deal with these sorts of issues which arise.
I was reading a quote from your CEO, Eilish Barry, saying that the LGBTQI plus community in Ireland has faced significant legal and societal barriers throughout history and are working to shine a light on these challenges and working towards a greater understanding and legal support where it's necessary. So what kind of barriers, Chris, would you have been hearing anecdotally from people? I suppose that's the purpose of this survey, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose, so we all know about the historic, you know, nature of the discrimination against the community and the specific legal issues that were there. But our understanding that has emerged through this clinic, through our experience of providing legal advice to members of the community, is that there are still specific legal issues there. Now, the most obvious one that people would see is discrimination and access to goods and services and employment and accommodation, perhaps. And there are legal remedies available to people, but not many people know where they can go to get advice and to get assistance when they have an experience of discrimination, as I said, in any of those areas or in employment. We also see specific issues affecting the trans community. So the trans community in Ireland are facing specific difficulties, which can become legal difficulties in terms of access to gender-affirming healthcare and ensuring that they get that the healthcare that they need when they need it without delay. So specific issues remain. And the other big area that emerges then through our clinic is in relation to the specific family law issues that LGBTQI plus families might encounter, perhaps arising out of, you know, surrogacy arrangements and things like that. There are specific issues where people need, you know, specific tailored legal advice that, you know, has the expertise to deal with these specific problems, but is also, you know, sensitive to the needs of the community and attuned to them.
Okay, so this survey itself then, it's been launched. It's going to remain until the 30th of this month. And where can people access it and what kind of questions are asked in the survey?
Yeah, so people can head to slack.ie to access the service. They can also find out the details of our legal clinic should they need to do so. And we'd be happy for people to look up those details as well. So on the survey, what we're looking to know is the nature of the legal issues people may have encountered, how they dealt with those problems. Did they know where to go to get advice or to get representation or other forms of legal assistance in respect of their problems? Were they able to resolve the problem? Were they happy with the resolution of the problem? And, you know, what the impact of experiencing the problem and going through the process of trying to get it sorted out was. So we're trying to get the full picture. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of information, but I would encourage all LGBTQI plus people listening to take the survey, and I'd assure them that it only takes around 10 minutes to complete. So we're trying to get that whole picture of the specific legal issue that members of the community might encounter.
Right, so flack.ie is where you can get the information on the survey and runs until the end of this month, as I say. Before I let you go, Chris, just to broaden the discussion, tell us a little bit more about Flack and what you do and for the wider population if they want to get in touch.
Yeah, so of course, Flack is an access to justice organisation and we provide a number of services. I suppose the most relevant one to your listeners is that we run a telephone information line and also a network of legal advice clinics. So people can contact our telephone information line. All the details in relation to that are on the website, where they can get basic legal information in relation to any sort of legal issue they might be encountering. So most often people contact us in relation to family law or employment law issues. But whatever the issue is, people can ring the telephone information line. I'd encourage people to look at the website first. They might be able to get some guidance there. But yes, and if they require legal advice in their issue, Flack then is able to arrange for them to have a once-off consultation with a volunteer barrister or solicitor who is able to give them further legal advice in relation to the issue if the telephone information line isn't able to source out.
Good stuff. Well, listen, thanks for joining us on the show this morning. That's Chris Bowes, the Flack legal officer. That survey running until the end of June. More information on www.flack.ie. Good morning to you, Chris, and thanks for your time. Let's go then to Annie Morris from the Kildare Yarn Bombers. And this, to be honest, is absolutely shocking what's happened this morning. 37 minutes ago on Facebook, Annie posted the sadness this morning. It's the 1st of June and today we discovered that loads of our beautiful pieces made with such love for the community have been stolen from the Liffey Linear Park. Annie, what's going on?
Hi, listen, thanks for having me on. I'm quite upset actually. I haven't really thought about it for very long, sorry. But basically, as you know, we're a big community arts project and we every year come together for June Fest. And my voluntary job in this is to coordinate as many knitters as possible to take part. And so this year we went down to the watering gates and decided that we would split up that area. And because there were seven trees, we would give each tree a colour of the rainbow. And so I put that on Facebook about 4 months ago, and seven knitters, some of them are new. Olga has never crocheted anything before. I know she'll be listening to this. And Geraldine, they took on the blue tree and the green tree and made these beautiful metre and a half long pieces that they then came along a week ago and sewed on. And the whole place just looked beautiful. So we have seven trees, each one gorgeously crocheted, a different shade of the rainbow, different colour of the rainbow. And then two of our regular knitters, Katie and Kitty, made the most intricate, the work in this is so detailed, I cannot tell you, tree wraps to go in the centre island tree, and then a lamppost, and the whole lot has been taken down in the middle of the night. And the upsetting thing about this is that it seems to have been done so purposefully. This wasn't like a mindless thing, because somebody would have gone down there with scissors, because I know myself how tightly knitted and crocheted on they are. And you can't just rip that. It has to be cut. And there's just nothing there. There's no cotton on the floor. There's no evidence of wool or anything to be seen. So whoever did this did it very neatly, which is just ridiculous. You know, I'm not saying that makes it any better. Mm. It makes it even worse, because this was so intentionally done. And it's just that whole area's just gone now, you know. Now, when I say gone, we still have the red, orange and yellow tree wraps, and the one at the violet still there. So we've three of the big ones gone, and then the two big ones in the middle have just gone. And it's just heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking.
We've spoken to you a number of times on the show, Annie, Kildare Today, Kildare Focus, over the last number of years. And I know how much work goes into this, not only by yourself, but by those people who spend the time at home knitting the pieces and making the Linear Park in Newbridge look gorgeous every single summer. And particularly on this day, when the sun is shining, I'm sure the park would have looked gorgeous, and you go down and you find that these things have been taken. I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful.
It's disgraceful, and it's just very, very hard not to feel so depressed about it, because of the work that goes into it, and especially new crocheters, because we're all about getting people involved. You know, if you haven't learned to crochet before, this is an excuse to give it a go and have your work seen and celebrated, and, you know, brings everyone down. And just to have somebody go down and do this. Now, other pieces have gone. We have, for the children, you know, we do big feature pieces, and beautiful spiders were hanging down, and one of those has just been taken. And I have to be honest with you, I haven't gone down the whole park because I'm too upset at the moment to see what else has gone. So that's what I'm calling you today for, because if anybody knows anything, could return these pieces. I've photographed of them on our Facebook page, and you'll just appreciate the skill that's gone into these, the time that's gone into these.
How much time has gone into it, Annie? How much time?
Four months, at least.
4 months' work, all to be destroyed over the course of a night.
The women who took part this year, who put all their love into making those pieces for the Rainbow Area, it's soul destroying to think someone's just taken them all and done what? Done what with them? What have you done with them?
Well, listen, if anybody has any information, we're getting messages in here. One listener says, that's so sad about the knitting. Whoever stole them should be ashamed of themselves. Another one says, I know some of the women that were involved in knitting those pieces. They spent so long doing it and they were so proud of their work and it's now all been taken. Another one saying that if anyone has any information, they need to bring those pieces back. And I was only talking about it's not overly related, but last week, 9 ring boys were taken from alongside the River Liffey in Clane. And I basically said, what's the actual point there? Like, what's anybody going to get out of taking 9 ring boys, right? And not to diminish, these pieces along the River Liffey at the Linear Park are beautiful. They're gorgeous. But what is anybody else going to get out of them? Why take them?
I don't understand. I'm thinking the park is full all day, especially now. It is, you know, the park is so busy all day with children going to school, coming back from school in the evening, after school, people are hanging out there. It's lovely. And then at night time, it brings other people down to the park, especially with all the young men now. It's just a lovely place to be. And so it must have been like 2, 3, 4 in the morning that somebody went down to do that. That this is a thing. Because why would you do this? Why? I just don't understand. Okay. And to those ladies who I know are listening, I am so sorry, because this is, you know, we get pieces taken every now and then, like, but little pieces are always returned. Like the Tato crisp packet that went missing 1 year. Mm. And, you know, little bits go missing. But they're always returned. But this is different, because this just seems to be so non. It's just, I can't help but feel that somebody has done this out of just nastiness. That's how it feels. It feels that you've just done this out of nastiness, because it brings so much pleasure to everyone who knits. Everyone, this time last week, we were setting it up, and we were all so happy because it looked so pretty. And now, you know, and I think, well, will we just replace it or just leave it? And that's what I have to decide. I don't know whether to just leave them there, leave the trees empty, as a sort of, you know, this is what's happened, or just, I don't know what to do then.
Okay, another one in here says,
if anybody knows anything, you know, if anybody saw anything, just let us know, because if we could just bring them back, I mean, just bring them back, just bring them back. Yvonne at Tidy Towns would be the contact going forward for this, or anyone in Tidy Towns in the mornings with the high-vis jackets who do such work there in the park. If you do know anything, just give the pieces back to somebody in Tidy Towns and we'll put them back on the tree. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, listen, so sorry to hear that, Annie, and I know how much work goes into it with yourselves at Kildare Yarn Bombers, and also Olga, Ashley, Katie, Kitty, Geraldine, all of the women involved there. Another one came in here to say, very annoyed to hear this, all those wonderful women that spend all the time to make the park look amazing. Those people should be ashamed of themselves. Annie, thanks for joining us on the show. Sorry to hear that again. If anyone has any information, get in touch with the Tidy Towns. Get in touch with the Kildare Yarn Bombers. Just bring those pieces back, because they really do make the place look absolutely gorgeous. Annie Morris of the Kildare Yarn Bombers, thanks for joining us and good morning. I don't know. I don't know at all anymore. You know, we said last week when 9 ring boys were taken from the River Liffey in Clane, what's the point? There was also an AED defibrillator broken into in Newbridge. Why? For what? You know, what's the point of it? The same for these. Like, these are... lads, I don't know. These are pieces of wool that are knitted around a tree to make the Liffey Linear Park look gorgeous, and somebody goes along with the scissors and cuts them off. For what? Anyway, if you've any information, will you please bring them back to Annie Morris, because you can hear in her voice and all of those people who dedicated so much time to it and how upset they are. Anyway, we'll take a break. Lots more coming up after this.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Another message has come in to us, all small-minded people with nothing better to do. We were only down the river the other day. All the yarn bombs are so lovely, says Maria. There's also another one that has come in to say, myself and my daughter were admiring the linear park going through Newbridge yesterday. So sorry to hear of the violation of the work, but these are the cowardly acts of minority. Shame on you, says this listener. And another one says, devastating about the knitting along the linear park. Those people should hang their heads in shame. As I say, and I don't want to labour the point, but I just don't understand what joy that would bring anybody cutting the pieces of wool off a tree and what they're going to do with it. But anyway, look, we'll leave it there. If anyone has any more information, just return the pieces. Get in touch with the Kildare Yarn Bombers. Get in touch with the Tidy Towns in Newbridge. Or just bring the pieces down to the linear park and leave them back at the tree and they'll put them back up. Anyway, a reminder about our competition as well this morning. Last night I was at the launch of the gorgeous Vi's restaurant at Lawler's on the main street there in Naas, and the steak on the stone and Mrs. Lawler's famous trifle were two of the standout ingredients and meals on the menu. And they also have a jazz and cocktail night on Friday nights now, starting for the summer on the 9th of June. We have a voucher for dinner for two to give away this morning on the show for Vi's Restaurant in Lawler's, and all you have to do to be in with a chance of winning that is text the word Lawler's followed by your name and where you're from to 0833 97 97 97, and we'll announce the winner before we finish up at 11 o'clock this morning. Let's go back to Shannon Aaron then, because a couple more issues were raised in the Shannon by Kildare senators yesterday, starting off with the Green Party Senator Vincent P. Martin, who was speaking to Minister of State Neil Richmond about the transfer of public lands to Skolmacua in Selbridge, which is to provide two special classes for autistic children. It continues to meet delay after delay after delay. Here's what Senator Martin had to say in the response that he got from Neil Richmond.
Minister, Skolmacua in Selbridge is a thriving primary school going from strength to strength since first opening its doors in 1985. It is the cherished heartbeat of the local community. It is a mainstream school which places huge emphasis on inclusion, catering for all, including those with additional needs. Skolmacua was delighted to be sanctioned by the National Council for Special Education to provide two special classes. This approval dates back to March 2021. But this delight, Minister, slowly but surely turned into deep frustration. The heroic efforts of the school community have, it seems, been thwarted, browbeaten by having to endure delay after unavoidable delay. Kildare County Council discovered that the land earmarked to build the two classrooms on had not been formally transferred to the council from the original owner. So this conveyancing matter was passed to the Chief State Solicitor's Office in order to get the necessary documents stamped to transfer formally the land ownership to the council and then on to the school. Despite countless numbers of direct representations from the school and on its behalf by so many public representatives, it took around 2 years to stamp one document. This ongoing delay is inexcusable. We need your help, Minister, to look into this matter, because some children have been robbed of time they'll never get back. Earlier this month, the school was informed by the local authority that in order for the disposal of these public lands to be made to the school, they've learned that the next step is, wait for it, for the official registration of the land to take place, and that's backed to the Chief State Solicitor's Office. So the to-ing and fro-ing goes on and on and on. It is soul-destroying for the 37 resilient staff, ably led by school principal Catherine Carraher, the three special needs assistants, the two office admin staff, the caretaker, the dedicated board of management, but most importantly of all, we cannot lose focus here. We are talking about 676 children attending this school and their supportive families. This protracted red tape bureaucracy is unnecessary and unjustified. So, Minister, I'm asking you to look into this. What assurances can we have that you can bring this shambolic delay after delay to an end, put children first, front and centre, and build these two much-needed, desperately needed classrooms? Gormaghaidh,
I would like to thank the Senator sincerely for raising the matter, as it provides me with an opportunity to update the House on the proposed transfer of land to Scumacua, Selbridge, County Kildare. When the NCSE sanction a special class in a school, either primary or post-primary, school authorities can apply to the Department for capital funding to reconfigure an existing space within the school building to accommodate the class and or to construct additional accommodation under the Department's Additional School Accommodation Scheme. Over the last 2 years, the Department and the NCSE have worked closely on a more streamlined and joined-up planning process, which has ensured a targeted approach to meet demand for special education placements ahead of each new school year. The Department continues to work with the NCSE in relation to the short-term requirements for special class and special school places, and also the more strategic and longer-term requirements. Arising from that close engagement with the NCSE, the Department is aware of ongoing discussions between the NCSE and Scumacua regarding the establishment of special classes at the school. The Department is also aware that the school contacted Kildare County Council in 2021 inquiring about additional lands adjacent to the school site with the view to acquiring said lands for the development of an astro pitch and to cater for additional two SEN classes that were sanctioned, as the Senator has already alluded to, by the NCSE in early 2021. The Council then informed the Department in early 2022 it was progressing the transfer of the said lands adjacent to Scumacua into their ownership. Also, the Council advised the lands in question were zoned amenity and open space and that no school accommodation was permitted to be built on these lands. As Scumacua is owned by St Lawrence O'Toole Diocesan Trust and the school site is therefore not in state ownership, the Department has no direct role in this proposed land transfer. Once any required site extension is secured, the school can apply for capital funding under the ASA scheme. The purpose of this scheme is to ensure that essential mainstream and special education classroom accommodation is available to cater for pupils in enrolled each year and where the need cannot be met by the school's existing accommodation. On receipt of the ASAA application from the school, the Department will review the school's requirements and engage with the school in respect of any accommodation needs and as quickly as is possible.
Okay, that's Minister of State Neil Richmond responding to Vincent P. Martin on that issue in Selbridge, and we'll keep a close eye on it as well here at KFM. Just going back to some of the messages, Magella wants to know, are there road closures on Saturday in Athy for the triathlon? There are indeed. If you just wait for a moment, I'll be able to open them up and let you know where the roads are closed. So the main Athy road to Carlow between Athy and Magheny Cross at the Three Counties pub will be closed to traffic from 7:45 to 4 o'clock on this Saturday. Emergency access and egress will be maintained at all times. Temporary road closures are also required at the following locations: the road between Levittstown and Kilkee, facing Kilkee Castle, a section of the R418 between Kilkee and Castle Dermot, the road between Mullacreelan and the Y Junction at Castle Row West, the road between the Y Junction and Castle Row West at and Beaconstown Cross, and the Shed Road linking Beaconstown with the R417. So hopefully clarifies for you there the road closures due to the Tri-Athy, which takes place on Saturday afternoon. Back to Seanad Éireann then we go, and Fiona O'Loughlin, Fianna Fáil Senator, brought up the following issues in Kildare on the back of the newly released census figures.
As expected, Kildare's growth has outpaced the national average and grew by 11%, which is very, very significant. But the fact that Kildare has gone up by 11% really leads to the call for extra investments and extra resources. And when we recognise that Kildare County Council serves two Dáil constituencies, we really need to have more resources for our county officials. We also need to have investment in leisure and amenities. I think that's really, really important. The number of people aged 65 and over continues to grow in Kildare. It has increased by 35%. So again, that's significant in terms of putting measures in place for people as they age and grow older. And that's why I'm particularly happy to be able to help deliver an ASI daycare centre in Kildangan, which will open in the coming weeks. The water quality debacle continues in South Kildare with musty and mossy smelling. I've requested a meeting with Ishka Éireann because the very least that we can expect is that water should be odourless and transparent with no taste.
Yeah, and I know we've still got a few messages coming in about the smell and the taste of water in parts of the south of the county in particular. And I was talking to Fiona O'Loughlin yesterday and she's going to follow up on that as well. Final chance to enter into our competition this morning. Morning dinner for two. We've a voucher to give away for the brand new Vise restaurant at Lawler's Hotel in Naas, the newly built Lawler's Hotel. And trust me, the steak on the stone and the trifle was just absolutely lovely last night. Anyway, if you want to be in with a chance of winning that voucher, dinner for two, which you could have in your back pocket, then just text the word Lawler's, followed by your name, where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. Now, after the break, we will be looking back at last night's Leinster Minor Football Championship final. Unfortunately, defeat for Kildare against Dublin. And Ger McNally will join us to go through all the details.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's
KFM. Okay, last night in O'More Park in Portlaoise was the Electric Ireland Leinster Minor Football Championship final between Kildare and Dublin. Unfortunately, Ger McNally defeat for Kildare in that game, and Dublin running out relatively comfortable winners.
Yeah, probably in the end, and probably deserving winners on the night, but I suppose Kildare will have regrets about certain parts of the game, particularly that final 7 or 8 minutes of the first half, because up to that, it was 3 points apiece. Kildare were playing with the wind at their back, and after Dublin had initially started pretty well in the opening 5 minutes, Kildare grew into the game and were very competitive for the remainder of that opening 23 or 4 minutes. But then Dublin took off on a scoring burst. They scored the last 6 points of the first half. I could have got a goal as well, were not for an excellent save by Cahill Moore from a Harry Curley shot. So it was 9 points to three at the half-time break, and against a pretty strong wind end in the second half, it was an uphill climb for Kildare, but to their credit, they really did give it a good go in the second half. Mike Cronin made a couple of three changes indeed at half-time, and they all had an impact. And a goal back in the 40th minute gave Kildare hope. They were back to within 3 points then, following the goal from Tadhg Donlan. Dublin kicked on again. They went to five clear. But then the big moment of the game was probably in the 50th minute when Keane Keithley sent Jack McCabe away, and his shot beat the Dublin goalkeeper, who was blocked on the line by Dublin midfielder Alex Carolan. He was back on the line to make a block. And had that gone into the back of the net, there would have been just 2 points between the sides and about 10 minutes to go. And Kildare were playing well at that stage of the game. But the belief that they could get back into the game probably ebbed away once Carolan made that block. And even though Evan Boyle did get a late goal there for Kildare, again, to kind of briefly give hopes of a comeback, that kind of fluttered out quickly enough, and Dublin went out winners then at the end of 98 points to 2-8.
I was talking to Seamus yesterday, and we were saying that Kildare and Dublin really, at particularly underage, know a lot about each other now, because last year in the Leinster, the under 20, the minor and the seniors were all in the final. This year you have the under 20s and the minors in the Leinster finals as well. Obviously the seniors not, but really Kildare and Dublin starting to build up a rivalry underage.
Yes, absolutely so. It looks, and of course it changes every year with a new kind of cohort of players coming through, but certainly at the moment it looks like Kildare and Dublin at underage level are quite a bit ahead of the rest of the counties. Dublin and Kildare indeed in the group stages of the minor championship cakewalked their way through those three games. Dublin hammered Offaly down in the semi-final. Kildare had a tougher semi-final against Meath. They only won that by a point. But yeah, at the moment, it certainly appears that Kildare and Dublin are a good step ahead of the rest at underage level. And Kildare are keeping pace with Dublin at that level. Of course, you saw at under 20 level that fantastic win earlier in the year in that Leinster final. So, and of course, that followed up the same result in last year's Leinster final as well. But unfortunately, at minor level, it's a second consecutive defeat in the final for Kildare against Dublin.
Not all disappointment, though, Ger, because they reached the Leinster final, Kildare still in the All-Ireland competition.
Yeah, absolutely. The minor championship has a backdoor, if that's what you want to call it. They go into the quarterfinals now, an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and they will face the Munster championship winners. So Cork and Kerry meet on Friday evening. So whoever is victorious in that game will be Kildare's quarterfinal opponents on Saturday the 10th of June. So obviously going in against the champions is going to be a tough ask for Kildare. But the Mount Cronin side, as I said, they certainly in patches played pretty well last night, and it's not all doom and gloom for that side. They are missing two players, two of their key players really, from who were involved last year, TJ Nolan and captain Ben Ryan, who both have serious injuries and unfortunately won't play again this season. And they are definitely two huge losses, and particularly Ben Ryan, because he's an outstanding young talent. Of course, the son of Glenn Ryan, and obviously comes from great stock there and great genes, and he and TJ Nolan are two big losses. And other than those two, it's kind of a whole new panel this year. Joey Cunningham played last night, and he's probably been Kildare's best player through this championship. But other than Cunningham, then it was a completely new lineup from last night compared to the last final 12 months ago.
It's interesting, just to finish on this point, that you mentioned Ben Ryan, and I was talking about it yesterday actually with Pat Costello, that you have Carl O'Dwyer's son on the team as well, Paul Flood's son on the team, Ty Donlan as well is on that minor team. There's a Donnelly as well from Ellistown, which I'm assuming is a relation of Ken Donnelly, whether it's a son or a nephew. But it's mad to think that it only feels like yesterday, and when I was growing up, that those players were lining out for Kildare: Carl O'Dwyer, Glenn Ryan, Paul Flood, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Colin Moran as well is a son there as well. His father played for the Kildare Seniors as well. Colin Moran of Tye. So, yeah, absolutely. I suppose, yeah. It's time moves on. These next generation of players are coming through. It's good to see, of course. There's so much love for the GAA within those sort of families as well. And it's kind of bred into, I'm sure, from a very young age. And it's great to see, I suppose, to see that next generation of players coming through. But I suppose it does make you feel a little bit older when you can talk about seeing their fathers in action and all that sort of stuff as well. So, yeah, time moves on. But
might make you feel a little bit older, Ger. I was watching them when I was younger. You probably remember them, you know, playing.
Yeah, so. Well, you'll be able to remember them now in years to come as well. You'll get old someday as well too, don't worry.
Exactly. Listen, thanks again, Ger. Of course, Ger will be back on Saturday evening for full commentary of the senior game between Kildare and Dublin in the All-Ireland Championship, and that throws in at 5 o'clock in Nolan Park in Kilkenny. We'll have full commentary with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown, and Tommy Callaghan will look ahead to that match tomorrow morning. Let's hear from the Kildare minor football manager then, Niall Cronin, speaking after that Leinster final defeat last night.
Just never easy after losing the Leinster final, but they looked to be in big trouble at half time. Put in a fair effort in the second half, but never really looked like they could hold them back.
Yeah, look, it was always going to be hard. It was the proper patch probably with 10 minutes to go before half time, which really proved to be the difference. And it was those scores we never really could get back. And you know, they're a very good side. We knew they were a very good side, you know. But you know, obviously some disappointing elements in that 10 minutes, but a few 50-50 things that could have easily fell for us and didn't, and maybe a few things outside of our control as well, and you know, they're the fine margins, and it didn't go our way tonight, and probably didn't go our way this day last year either. So sometimes you have to create your own luck though, and maybe we didn't do that enough in the first half, and but we certainly left it out there in the second half, and certainly immensely proud of the lads. They responded well, and it just wasn't to be in the end.
For young players, is that spell at the end of the first half, is that kind of a key learning zone? Like what can you do to stem the flow of scores, or you know, to stem that kind of momentum that Dublin have? Like, can you obviously like to get a hand of the ball around the middle of the field, or even just to break up the play, just to stop them getting that real momentum that they have at that stage?
Yeah, I think, look,
we've spoken about so many different scenarios, and I'd like to think we've covered a lot of scenarios, but in the heat of battle, it just is so tough, and it's so hard to get messages on. You know, like, it's the runner, missing the runner is it's a big loss, because you just can't, you know, it's very hard to just kind of settle things down and remind them of a few things that we worked so hard on. And, you know, you mentioned young players, like, you know, with four players involved with us last year, and that were here last year, that were underage again this year, and two of them are in the stand with an ACL. You know, two of your key players, and Ben Ryan and TJ Nolan, and that's, you know, that's the experience you need on a night like tonight when they have it in the bank. But you know, so look, take nothing away from Dublin, absolutely, like, they were the better team tonight, and you know, we have to learn from this now, and we've 10 days to do it, and we need to make sure that tonight doesn't define us. You know, like, these boys have put in absolutely unbelievable work in the last few months, and you know, we have another chance, and we have to be grateful of that. So it's going to be sore for the next day or two, but you know, we don't have time for it to be sore after that. We have to go again, and as I say, maybe right a few wrongs in 10 days' time.
Jack McCabe's shot was cleared off the line. That could have been a big moment out of to cut it back to 2 points with about 10 minutes to go, when you had the momentum on your side then as well.
Yeah, and look, I suppose at any level, momentum is a big thing, but certainly at this age, momentum is a big thing. And if that goes in, you know, who knows what happens. And you know, there was one down here, I think it was wide, that was given, and you know, like, they're fine margins, but look, we were chasing at that stage. You know, like, it was a spell before half time that really did the damage, and you know, not only impacted us, but you know, gave Dublin a lot of confidence, and gave them an opportunity to control things a small bit more as well, and slow it down, and you know, that's what you're going to get at this level, you know.
Is it fair to say, Niall, that, you know, four games is not a lot? And what I'm getting to is, like, Liam O'Connor's influence when he came into the game. You know, maybe he hasn't had a whole lot of game time. You know what he's like. He's your own club man. But, you know, he proved that, you know, really, really influential when he came in. And, you know, in fairness to the lads, four games, maybe it's hard to finalise your best 15 to a certain extent.
Yeah, look, I often think it would be nice to have a little league. You know, you go around, you play your challenge matches and things like that. But, you know, last year, this year, you definitely would think, Chinny, a league, it'd be for no other reason than not to have to try and find the right challenge matches and organise it with other, you know, like, it's very hard with school matches and things like that to find the right opportunities. But it would be nice, but look, that's not an excuse, you know, like, the boys are, you know, we went with the starting team that we felt best matched, you know, me the last day, Dublin tonight, Leash, Longford and Offaly before that, and you know, but we need to finish the game strong. No matter what position we're in, you have to finish the game strong. And we knew the lads coming off the line would finish it strong. And the headaches we have to nail this down to 24, you know, they go on quite a long time, because it's very competitive in there. And, you know, definitely pleased with the impact the lads had coming on. And we need to regroup now and see who we're playing on Friday night.
Yeah, that is Niall Cronin, the Kildare minor football manager, speaking after that defeat last night in the Leinster final. And as Ger mentioned, Kildare will play the winners of the Munster Championship, and that game between Cork and Kerry is on Friday night. Now, just to actually one more message come in from Joe in Allan Wood, and he says, regarding those minor players, Joey Cunningham is a nephew of Ken Doyle out in Allan Wood. So there's another connection there with a former senior player and one of those minor players on the panel as well. So thanks for telling us that, Joe. And also, we have to announce the winner of our competition this morning, a voucher for dinner for two at the newly launched Vise restaurant at Lawler's in Naas, and the winner is Susan Casey in Nerney. So well done to you, Susan, and we'll be in touch with you after the show to let you know how you can collect that voucher.